the state budget process continues, with the Senate narrowly passing the bill today. Soon, that spending package will move to the governor's desk.
It will be Governor Tony Evers' first chance to use his veto power on the state spending plan, a veto power that is considered one of the strongest in the nation.
Our partners at WisContext recently took a closer look at what's called the governor's partial veto powers in Wisconsin, and Will Cushman joins us now to talk about it. Will, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So, break this down for us. What makes the governor's veto power so strong here in Wisconsin?
Well, most states have partial veto powers, also known as line item vetoes. What makes Wisconsin's unique is really the language and the constitutional amendment from 1930 that approved those partial vetoes, and kind of the vagueness of that language. It says that, actually, let me just read it here. The ballot question in 1930 was, the voters were asked, shall the constitutional amendment proposed by Joint Resolution No. 43 of 1929 be ratified so as to authorize the governor to approve appropriation bills in part and to veto them in part? The operative term there being in part. It's been a pretty contentious term over the years, in particular because of its vagueness.
Sure. And line item differs from the partial veto here because, correct me if I'm wrong, small things can be changed as part of the partial veto. Is that correct?
Yeah. So it's not only just one whole item in a budget. It's as little as a sentence or a word or even in some cases a character or an individual numerical digit.
Okay, and that can actually be a pretty big difference between one fewer zero and one extra zero if that was how the governor decided to put in their veto.
Right, exactly. So for the first like four decades after this constitutional amendment in 1930 was passed, governors exercised their partial veto powers pretty conservatively. That changed in the 1970s with Governor Lucey, and the first instance of kind of a really selective use of this partial veto was when he changed an appropriation from $25 million to $5 million by striking just that digit two.
And do we know what the context was for that decision back in the day?
Not
to put you on the spot, a history lesson.
I think I have a screenshot of it right here. It was transportation funding.
Gotcha. So this feels like a pretty powerful thing in the governor's arsenal, but what are the limits to the partial veto?
Right. There are some limits. Those have been set out by a couple further constitutional amendments, one from the early 90s and one from 2008. Which sought to limit this partial veto power because it had been used in ways that were so creative that a lot of people questioned whether or not they should have been used that way. Governor Tommy Thompson was particularly into the partial veto powers. The constitutional amendment from the 1990s that restricted this made it so that you couldn't create new sentences from other sentences. So you couldn't delete parts of sentences to form new sentences. And then in 2008, the amendment made it so that you couldn't create new words from partial words, from striking out parts of words and then kind of smushing them together to create a new word.
It's interesting to kind of see this in practice, as we just heard with your throwback to Governor Lucey in the 70s. We are talking to Will Cushman right now. He's an associate editor at WisContext, and he's with us to talk about the governor's partial veto power here in Wisconsin. So let's take a look back, because part of the reason why this story is a little bit surprising is that the argument for this originally came from the state Senate, in that someone in the legislature, totally different branch of the government. Was it strange that a member of one branch wanted to give potentially more power to another?
Yeah, you know, I thought that was kind of weird too. So, yeah, this originated with Senator William Titus. He was a progressive from Fond du Lac, and he proposed this in the 1927 session of the legislature, which was the first time it was passed. A constitutional amendment has to be passed by two consecutive legislatures and then ratified by voters. So the first time it passed was in 27, second time in 29, and then ratified by voters in 1930. It's kind of unclear. I mean, it's totally unclear to me why William Titus wanted this particular provision himself, especially since he was a member of the legislature, as you said, and this constitutional amendment was strengthening the governor's power in relation to the legislature. I can say that there was general concern growing after 1911 is when the legislature started bundling budget bills into omnibus bills, so putting multiple provisions into one bill. And the concern was that with multiple budget items included in one bill, and a governor if a governor didn't have the ability to veto just parts of that bill, then a governor would have to basically sign the legislation in full or veto it in full, rather than being able to pick the parts of the budget bill that they wanted to approve or veto.
I mean, and it sounds like why many governors have a version of this power, given that every other state more or less has the line item, which feels a little bit more straightforward versus our partial veto. You know, you just mentioned that this had to be approved basically twice in 27, 29, and then ultimately ratified. You know, besides the growing concern, was there broad support at the time, I guess?
Yeah, it seems that there was. The amendment was ratified in a vote of about 2-1 statewide. So nearly 65% of voters voted to ratify this amendment. And it did seem to have pretty wide political support. As I mentioned, State Senator William Titus from Fond du Lac, the one who introduced this amendment, he was a progressive, but the state senator who was like the chief proponent of this of the amendment in terms of public support when it was up for ratification was a socialist state senator from Milwaukee, and it had support from Republicans as well.
So we've had the history lesson, but now let's look more recently, literally within the last 6 months. How has the partial veto fight basically played out recently?
You know, it's interesting. I'm not really sure. Robin Voss, Assembly Speaker, said that the Assembly was working on a way to form the current budget package in a way that would kind of galvanize it against this partial veto power. I'm not exactly sure how that's going to work. I know that the governor's partial veto powers were not affected by the lame duck bills that were passed in December.
So we've talked about the legislative and the executive branch. Now look at the judicial. How has the state Supreme Court dealt with partial veto through the years?
Yeah, there have been disputes over use of this partial veto power over the decades, beginning in the 1930s, not long after the amendment was passed. In fact, 8 cases reached the Supreme Court. 6 of those cases resulted in an expansion of the power. And sometimes the Supreme Court had to consider, like, literally the definition of the word part. So there's an opinion from the 1990s in which the Supreme Court discusses the Webster's definition of the word part in order to basically say that the way that Governor Thompson vetoed a portion of a budget was in fact correct because he reduced a number.
Interesting. Yeah. And so in, you know, following this story, what stood out to you the most as we wrap up?
What stood out to me the most was how governors had this partial veto power that was super expansive beginning in 1930, and really no governor used it in a really creative way for 40 years.
Oh, wow.
And then with Governor Lucy, that kind of really took off, and it really took off in the 80s and 90s. With Governor Tony Earle and then Tommy Thompson. And so to me, that says something about maybe the increasing gamemanship in politics in the latter part of the 20th century and the early 21st century, and just like an increase in partisanship and polarization that I think we are all quite familiar with.
With that in mind, is the partial veto here to stay?
It appears to be, at least for now.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Will Cushman, associate editor of WisContext. He joined us today to talk about the governor's partial veto power in Wisconsin. And you can read his piece on the issue, The Story of Wisconsin's Singular Partial Veto, at wiscontext.org.